It's been a dry year for much of America, including the Northeast. And that's been tough for all sorts of things, from farming to hatching baby turtles. Earlier this year, Living on Earth went out with a team of biologists who are working with some Massachusetts school children to give a boost to the regionally threatened Blanding's turtles. This project monitors the turtles as they nest and then rears any hatchlings in classrooms over the winter for release in the spring, when the turtles are a lot bigger and stronger. The other day, Brian Windmiller went out to the Great Meadow in Concord, Massachusetts, to check on the nest with a couple of young assistants.
I'm Marco.
I am 12.
I'm Ana Gracia, and I'm 10.
It's now, this is September 11th, right? So this is starting to get well into the period where the turtles are often hatching.
Brian is the executive director of Grassroots Wildlife Conservation, and he's concerned about what effect the drought might have had on the nest of turtle number 2028. That's the mother we encountered when she laid her eggs back in June. And this time, Living on Earth's Don Lyman went along with Brian as well.
Right now, just to make sure that things are okay, we're going to just scratch down and take a look just at the topmost couple of eggs and just see if those eggs look okay.
Brian opens the wire mesh cage that surrounds the nest to protect it from predators like skunks and raccoons. There's a large yellow sponge on top of the soil to keep the soil moist, says Brian.
We water the sponge, and we usually overwater it, so we're actually watering the nest a little bit, too. The soil's been so dry, so just to make sure that the eggs aren't dehydrating. The only thing is we didn't really start doing that until into August, and it was incredibly dry before then, too. So our concern is, you know, that maybe some of the embryos might have perished, you know, back in July, when it was really hot and dry as well. So, Ana Gracia and Marco, you guys can take some turns.
Marco and Ana Gracia carefully dig into the nest with their hands, and pretty soon...
It's a turtle!
It's alive.
Oh, let me see it.
And that, I was going to say, is the other thing that we sometimes find as you dig down, and you find that the turtles have hatched already.
He's so great. He's so cute.
Looks wonderful.
Nice. I need some water.
Yeah, so I'll go turn the hose on.
He's teeny.
He does weigh as much as a quarter.
He weighs less than a quarter.
Yeah, you could soak it for a second. We'll also soak the nest.
Ana Gracia rinses the little Blanding's turtle off with a garden hose and puts it in a plastic tub with some water.
He's swimming.
I was kind of surprised that they could swim, like, the second they got out.
Moisten the sponge. That one looks really good.
Brian thinks it's best to leave the nest alone at this point, so the rest of the hatchlings can dig their own way out. When they do, these hatchlings will go to school, literally. Brian entrusts them to school kids like Marco and Ana Gracia, who care for them in their classrooms and give them a head start in life. He says it's a good thing they don't have to find their way to the nearest pond. Baby Blanding's turtles aren't very good at finding their way to the water.
You'd inevitably find some turtles that went completely the wrong way, and then they'd wander for a while, maybe a day or two, and if they don't get eaten, which many of them do, then they might eventually turn around and figure it out.
As tiny hatchlings, baby turtles face a variety of hazards, as they're only as big as a quarter, and their shells are flexible.
So with that very thin, flimsy, flexible shell and tiny size, they get eaten by garter snakes, bullfrogs, blue jays, crows, people's cats, people's dogs, anything you can imagine. Some of them are killed by insects. They're killed sometimes by ants when they get in the water. There are various aquatic insects that can kill them. Plus, you know, they get run over by cars, they get run over by people on bicycles. I mean, they're just so tiny and so vulnerable.
In another nest that Brian was monitoring, he found a startling threat to the Blanding's turtle eggs that may have been related to the drought.
There were about 6 or 7 dead eggs in there. This nest was a little unusual. Several of the eggs that were dead, there were grass roots all through the eggshell. And what we suspect happened is that the babies were literally killed by the grass roots.
This happens with sea turtle eggs, Brian says. They can be killed by dune grasses.
And the roots will actually pierce through the eggshells and suck up the nutrients from the egg and kill the embryo in the process. We normally don't see that in inland turtles so much, hasn't been reported so much, but as a guess, I was saying, you know, it's been so ridiculously dry that the grassroots, you know, were not able to get moisture normally from the soil. And these grassroots happened to be right next to, you know, turtle eggs, and opportunistically, they went, grew right through the shells and sucked up the nutrients and killed those eggs.
A couple of weeks later, we're back at the nest with Brian Windmiller and program coordinator Emily Schuler. Brian says no baby turtles have emerged since Marco and Ana Gracia found that first one nearly 2 weeks ago.
Typically, we don't see more than a week or so that goes by between when one hatchling emerges and when everybody else does. And we found that rain often seems to motivate the hatchlings to come out of the ground. And we actually had one fairly decent rain just about 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
And time is running out, Brian says, for the cold-blooded turtle hatchlings.
At this point, because the weather's cooling down, it becomes harder and harder for the hatchlings that are underground to have the energy to dig themselves out.
Brian and Emily take off the mesh cage that's been protecting the nest.
Okay, you gonna go for it, Emily?
Okay. Oh, what's this? Oh, that's the
temperature logger.
Temperature logger. Okay, well, we've got that.
So this records the temperature every hour. It will allow us to predict with reasonable accuracy whether the hatchlings are boys or girls.
So I think I'm seeing our first little friend here. There's a something, some egg and some movement.
Oh, that's looking good.
There's movement.
Mm-hmm.
There he is.
The little one.
Aww.
Yeah, wonderful. There looks like that one too has been hatched for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just been sitting there.
Emily digs down further into the nest.
So Emily just dug up. Here's an egg that you can feel. It's got a formed embryo inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm suspecting that
it might not be alive.
Yeah, that it's not viable anymore. Mm-hmm. This nest may be pretty small because this was a first-time mom.
Mm.
And first-time moms often lay pretty few eggs compared to the normal average of about 10.
Looks like some more eggs there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but again.
All right, so this one doesn't have an embryo in it.
How can you tell?
You feel it's really light.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
all dried up.
Yeah.
And that may be pretty much the nest, right?
There's something else down here.
Is there? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh,
look,
I've
at
seen that,
that
before. Yeah.
Tiny.
Why is it so tiny?
So that's also something that we saw once before with a first-time mother right across the street from here, who, you know, you could tell she was sitting there working, laying, and then very carefully burying things. And we always, when we put the screen over the nest, we dig down just to make sure that she actually laid eggs. And we were quite sure that she'd done something, but I dug down and I didn't see anything. I kept digging down and I just had one little tiny egg. You know, this is the size of a parakeet egg.
Or maybe a hummingbird egg.
And maybe a hummingbird egg. This is not the size of a Blanding's turtle egg.
Wow.
I think it's just something physiological about first-time moms.
Brian says he'll dissect the egg that has an embryo inside, but not yet because...
My wife, who's a wildlife veterinarian, always reminds me when you work with reptiles, their metabolisms are so slow. It's not always easy to tell when they're dead or not. So I will take that egg, actually, and I'm going to take a little bit of the soil over here. And just in case, you know, I'm wrong, I'm just going to put it in a container for a little bit just to see if anybody does hatch from it before I break the shell open.
All in all, Turtle 2028 laid 4 eggs in her nest.
That's less than half the size of a typical Blanding's turtle clutch. And 2 out of the 4 survived, which is also low.
Normally, about 80% of the eggs produce hatchlings. The low survival rate of the eggs of these threatened turtles seems to be a trend this year in New England.
We did hear from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So they're monitoring the only relatively large population of Blanding's turtles left in Massachusetts. And I believe they had 59 nests that they monitored this year. And their average hatching success was just over 5 hatchlings per nest. And that's very low. and I would put up drought as my first guess as to why that's been the case.
Since as many as 80% of Blanding's turtles don't make it through their first winter, Grassroots Wildlife Conservation steps in. The turtles grow much faster when cared for by humans than in the wild, Brian Windmiller says.
By the time we let them go, they're usually the size of, say, a wild four-year-old. The first year, their survival rate is really high. It's around 85-87%. And by the second year after we let them go, it's around 96%.
The tiny Blanding's turtle that Emily unearthed from the nest of Turtle 2028 may have come from a small clutch, but the 9 months of boarding school that awaits it gives this little guy, or gal, a good shot at living a long and productive life.
The good news is we've got a baby who looks healthy, and this is the second one from this nest, and we have a lot of fourth graders in Concord who are really looking forward to meeting their turtles.
And we plan to follow the hatchlings into the classroom as school kids do their part to protect threatened wildlife. For Living on Earth, I'm Don Lyman in Concord, Massachusetts.